Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Revelation 12 and 10 states, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." 1 Peter 4 and 12 through 13 states, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." My subject for a little while today is simply, your adversity has an expiration date. Now, as we look at this word strange in 1 Peter 4, that word strange means foreigner. So first of all, the apostle is telling us that the fiery trial is your friend, not a stranger. To be foreign is not to know the territory, but this is no stranger of danger, if you will, but a friend of faith and revelation. Jesus called Judas friend. Why? Because he knew what Judas would do, and anything that helps shape your destiny is your friend. And though it becomes your enemy, the result reveals that it was as if a friend had done you a favor. The other thing I want you to notice in this text is the word happened, as though some strange thing happened, not happening, past tense, not presently occurring. So this means whatever was taking place has already happened. It's over. You're past it. You're through it. You're at the end of the chapter. You're over the mountain of conflict. You're beyond the valley of strain and stress. You're out of the wilderness of confusion. Your victory has developed out of the darkness. Your treasure has come out of the fire. Your faith has come out of the furnace of anxiety. It has processed into promise. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't take a demonic detour. Or don't take a rest area and relax in some religious satisfaction because you think the ambition of your anointing that you're never going to get there. Because my friend, when God takes something that is broken, it's that which has formed from brokenness into something priceless. That's what God is putting together for you. And that's what's going to come out of this trial, out of this thing that comes out of the past, this thing that pushes you through the process, this thing that demands a desperate prayer and seeks for the longing of the soul and digs into the appetite and the hunger of that seeker of God. Also, you need to understand that that word happened is a word that speaks of an event. An event has a time stamp on it. It's based on something transpiring at a particular time. For instance, if you buy tickets to some type of entertainment, it has a date and a time on it. So you can't show up a day later and use the same ticket, or show up a day early and use the same ticket. Now, I want you to think about that as I read this next text in Revelation 21. Of course, we're looking into the future. John saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. "And I heard a great voice," John said, "out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, enemy? Because when we get to that place, when God has wiped away the tears, when there's no more death, when there's no more sorrow, when there's no more setbacks, when there's no more circumstances, no more sin, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more aches of the past, no more inflammatory situations to deal with physically, spiritually, emotionally, or mentally. So my friend, when the devil shows up, it's as if he stepped in to tomorrow's promise with yesterday's pain, and it doesn't work anymore. It's like an outdated ticket. The devil doesn't get to use that against you. The world and all of its pain and the sin and sickness and things that you've been through, the burdens that you've had to carry, my friend, they have an expiration date on them. Someday the time is going to run out. They're all on the clock. The seconds of suffering and the minutes of misery and the hours of agony, all of these things are going to dissipate. They're going to disappear. They're going to come to that elimination. They're going to come to that final conclusion. And my friend, the crown of righteousness that Paul describes in the New Testament is going to be worth the cross that has been carried. So my friend, as you understand that these things are on the clock, that what you're going through in this season of suffering is not always going to be that way, then you ask not what is this going to do to me, but what is this going to do for me? Because as a child of God, all things work together for the good to them who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. That's not just a good proverb. It's not just a good saying, you know, to quote in the bad time or on a rough day, but it is a word of God. It's a promise. And so these things that we go through in darkness, they are oftentimes for our development. And so we struggle with it and we go through the emotional moments of it. We break down, or you may feel like you come to a place of numbness because you've kind of been calloused by what you've been through recently. Maybe you've had a lot of loss. Maybe you've had financial loss. Maybe you've had family loss. Maybe you've had faith loss. Somewhere your spirituality has waned, or the fuel in the fuel tank, so to speak, has been drained out or siphoned out by circumstances or thieves of darkness and of the night. Unforeseen things, unexpected traumatic events, even just reading the headlines and watching what's taking place in our world and all of the shifts in the culture and sin tolerance going on when we're trying to maintain a certain Christianity and apostolic principles. These things can weigh on us, and you can begin to think, well, it's never going to get any better. And then that can, you know, begin to create bitterness in the spirit. And as we become embittered, we get impatient with God. And if we don't get something in a certain microwave moment, then we're not quite as patient for the process. We think, well, it's just not going to happen, or God has forgotten about us, or we've been neglected or overlooked or unloved, or we're rejected. And in that shame, we're trying to put together an understanding, and sometimes we're reaching for things that are secular more than spiritual, or worldly more than scriptural. And then we come back to an altar and we get encouraged by a word from God, and the preacher preaches to us again, and we get back in that Bible, we read some of our favorite highlighted verses, and then we realize, you know what? All of this stuff is just temporary. These things are going to pass. If I'm somewhat in a cocoon of life right now, then I know that in some moment, in some place, I'll stretch against that gauzy fabric of that fibrous cocoon, and I'll break out of it. And with those wings of everlasting life, we're all going to soar someday, friend, in that rapturous moment. And that trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. And it's not a fairy tale. It's not some fictitious writing. It's not some clever novel, you know, that people have made up out of their imaginations. My friend, this comes out of the mind of God. And the Lord, someday soon, is going to call his people home. But in the meantime, we have those rough days, and we hit those bumps in the road, and sometimes we feel like we're not going to be able to get past a certain point, and we may set up camp in fear or in anxiety or in doubt or in anger for a little while, or in some form of offense for a little while. And then we get stirred up and we break camp and we move on in the spirit, because we realize that we're headed for a city where there'll be no more suffering, a city where there'll be no more Satan, a city where there'll be no more sin, but it'll be one eternal day in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you look back in history, I found something interesting in looking back into 1991 when Iraqi forces sabotaged a total of 700 oil wells near Kuwait City. And it caused hundreds of billions of dollars in economic and environmental damage. The smoke from the burning oil wells reached the city of Kuwait, and the sky, according to reporters, became dark, and then it started raining. And for this particular season, nothing could be seen for more than 10 yards north of Kuwait. And a huge flame of fire rose from the oil wells and blotted out the sun. And so while they were going through all of this, these burning wells, they obviously needed to be extinguished, as without active efforts, Kuwait would lose billions of dollars in oil revenues. It was predicted by experts at that time that the fires would burn for between 2 and 5 years before losing pressure and going out on their own. So one of the neat things that I found out in the information was that 90% of all the 1991 fires in Kuwait were put out with nothing but seawater. Now, where did they get the seawater? They sprayed them, or sprayed the seawater from the powerful hoses at the base of the fire. But the extinguishing water was supplied to this arid desert region by repurposing the oil pipelines that prior to the arson attack had pumped oil from the wells to the Arabian Gulf. So now think about that in terms of your walk with God and what you're going through right now. The very same pipelines that was holding the oil that was being set on fire and much damage being caused is now bringing in what's going to help it, not hurt it. What's going to cure the problem, not kill you in the process. Now you think about that. What source of pain in your life is continuing to be inflamed by fear or bitterness or doubt or self-deprecation or condemnation or self-accusation or this ongoing list of regrets and things that you wish you would have done differently? And these things have piped into your spirit, all kinds of negativity, pessimism about yourself, the statements of I can't do that, or I'll never be able to become that, or I'll never get over this, or I'll never be able to get past that. This relationship can't be fixed, or I won't be able to get that education that I need to go to the next level, or I'll never be able to make that kind of money, and on, this negativity and these things of doubt and fear and condemnation get piped into us. And yet what we learn from what they did in 1991 to put these fires out, God can do the same thing by repurposing those same demonic pipelines. Instead of it being full of fires and guilt and shame, it's full of grace and peace and kindness and gentleness. And all of a sudden, there's a revelation of the mercies of God at work in your life. And then you realize, look what God did. He took the very things that the devil is going to use to harm me, and he used those same pipelines now to help me. These are things that are going to put the fires out. It's going to get rid of the flames of shame, if you will. It's going to get rid of these old incinerating embers of anger, and going to be able to walk in the peace of the Holy Ghost. Something else that they talked about that they did, that in fighting a fire at a directly vertical spewing wellhead, they would take high explosives such as dynamite, and they would use that to create a blast wave that would push the burning fuel and local atmospheric oxygen away from the well, and then they could put the fire out easily or easier. And now think about that. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, according to the power that worketh in us." So God is going to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. That's dunamis. That's where the word dynamite comes from. My friend, you have on the inside of you a dynamite experience, a powerful anointing, a second to none force that when that fuse is lit, when that faith is charged, when that dynamite has exploded, it blows away the influences of darkness. It sucks the atmosphere of the oxygen of the enemy, if you will. And then all of a sudden, what seems to be out of hand and out of control can just be put out. And God has given you the ability to speak a word in faith, to pray and have intercessory power, to stand in the gap and call upon the name of the Lord. Don't be afraid of what happened. Yes, don't let fear rule. Fear is faith in the enemy. But turn yourself back to faith in God, the substance of what you've heard, the substance of the word of God that's been put in your heart, the substance of things that you know have been proven in your life in the past. So it's not like you're having to guess at it or estimate the worth of the word of God, because you know that it has already proven itself over and over in the tests of your faith in the past. Going back to Ephesians 3 and 20, who is it that's able? God is always able. We just have to have faith released in order to not only trust what God is going to do, but to have the confidence and the patience to see it through and to know that not only is our adversity on an expiration date, but there's also a timing of the good things to come. So there's the worth the wait factor for the promises being developed and for the pain or a certain trial coming to an end and the evidence or the proof of that trial that shows the goodness of our faith or shows the gold or the silver or the refinement of those things that we've been through. And to understand that God is a God who wants to bless us excessively. He's a God of abundant mercy. He's a God whose mercy is everlasting. The scripture talks about the riches of his grace earlier in the book of Ephesians. So God is not stingy with his resources. God is not a God who is some divine miser who wants to withhold the good things from the people of God. And so my prayer for somebody listening to this today is to understand that there are some things that are at work for you and to trust the process. Don't let fear come in and eliminate. And don't believe that just because something's been delayed for a little while, at least in our own perspective, that it's been canceled, because there's a difference between delay and cancel. I mean, if you go to the airport and you have a flight delayed, and then at some particular point later on, it does depart, then that flight was not canceled. But obviously, if the flight is canceled, then they have to put you on another flight or send you home. So I hope that somebody listening to this today understands that where you're at in your walk with God and what you're feeling like should have already been a time period past, that you should have already gotten over this or through this, or, you know, you spent long enough in this class of suffering, so to speak. You should have already graduated with your next degree. But it seems like it's been delayed. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean that you've suddenly been forsaken. It doesn't mean that it's time to abandon your faith. Just hold on and walk a few more steps and go back to another service. Find that altar and pray and seek the Lord again, because he's going to bring to pass everything that he said he would. And something else to consider. Sometimes when you're going through these places and, you know, we get in these valleys, and so it ends up being, say, 10 or 15 miles longer than what we thought it was going to be. The journey ends up being a day or two longer than what we thought we were going to have to endure it. Then sometimes our faith decreases, just like fuel in a tank. The more you drive, it decreases. It doesn't mean that the function of the vehicle is not there. It doesn't mean that your faith is eliminated or destroyed. It just means there's a decrease in your faith. Don't let a decrease in your faith be the same as the enemy telling you that your faith is destroyed. No, your faith is not destroyed. Just because it might be temporarily diminished, just because it might not be on a full tank, but might be at a quarter of a tank. You're still running on faith. You're still moving ahead, and there'll be a replenishment of it. You're going to come to a place, so to speak, like a station, and it might be in an altar, might be in a prayer meeting. It might be driving down the road and having one of those emotional epiphanies with God, and you feel his presence come in to where you are, and you feel the comfort of his word, or some message that comes back to you, and you hear that voice thunder in your spirit, hey, it's going to be all right, just keep on going, keep on driving, keep on believing, because you're almost there. And even though it's taking a little longer than what you thought, you're going to get there, because your adversity has an expiration date on it. This is why the scripture says in Revelation 12 that the devil is coming down in the last days upon the earth with great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Now you think about it. All the empires, all the Gentile kingdoms that have been around for millennia, from the Assyrian original Mesopotamian Empire to the Egyptian Empire, to Babylonian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. You can go on down through history to find the Byzantine Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire. I mean, on and on. You can list all of these Gentile empires that one day are going to culminate in the seven-hand, ten-horned kingdom of the last Gentile empire that's going to be ruled by the Antichrist. And for all of this buildup, for all of the satanic strategy to create his own ruled human race that would be a part of his entertainment and his appeasing of the sensual desires and the cravings for prestige and power and popularity and thus lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, all of these things that would be supplied by this ruler of the world. By the time he gets to this culminating, conquering kingdom of the Antichrist, he only gets 1 hour. That's what it's compared to. Well, this seven-year period when he signs a covenant in Daniel 9:27 with Israel and then breaks that covenant 3.5 years in. And then at the end of this seven-year period, the Lord Jesus comes back in Revelation 19 and destroys this Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. All he gets, that little seven-year period, is described really as 1 hour of power. That's it. He has a short time. Chronologically speaking, it's not that long. When you're talking about eternity, when you're talking about everlasting life, when you're talking about a perpetual crown, when you're talking about a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem where the Lamb is going to be the light of that city. So again, the devil has a short time to unleash the last powers of his shame upon this world. He has a short time to try to find this place of equality that he's always wanted with God. And while he ascends upon the mountains of the last days and even will spill over into the glorious land, he is going to come to a place of a furious end because of the presence and power of God that's going to eliminate. And so, my friend, not only does your adversity have an expiration date, but the adversary himself has an expiration date. Even though when the Lord comes again, he's going to take Satan and bind him for 1,000 years in the abyss. Even when he's let loose in this final sweeping Gog and Magog battle against the city of God, he's going to be humiliated, he's going to be defeated, and he's going to be thrown into a lake of fire where the false prophet and Antichrist will have already been for over 1,000 years. And so, my friend, stay the course. Keep walking with God. Pray one more prayer. And I know that all this is easier said than done. Sometimes when your feelings have been crushed, sometimes when you feel like the last hope that you're holding on to by a thin thread is breaking and you can see the frayed edges of the binding and you just don't know how much longer you can hold on. But in comparison to the glory that shall be revealed in us, there's just not that much more to go. There's not that much longer to go because the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then that's why 1 Thessalonians 4 concludes with, comfort one another with these words. Because that's the comfort, friend. It ain't always going to be like this. Your adversity has an expiration date, but not your everlasting life. Not the crown that someday you're going to get to wear, because you're going to be in that kingdom with Jesus Christ forever and ever. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.